Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Our text for this morning's meditation is the text you just heard from Paul's letter to the Philippians. And I find that rather interesting text insofar as it talks about Paul being in prison, and as far as his adversaries were concerned, I would imagine they thought they had kind of put the screws on him, that he is not any longer going to do these things about preaching the word of God and Christ. Paul could have taken a tact and said, well, that's the way it goes. You win some, you lose some, and I'm getting wiped out here. Here I am in prison, I can't do anything about preaching the word of God. But Paul gives us a good lesson. He lets us know that we don't have to have all pluses in our external life to do God's work. We only have to have that Holy Spirit in us, trust in God, and go at it. Here's Paul in prison. But yet he makes it well known why he's there, what he's all about, to the extent that the whole Imperial Palace of Praetorian Guard knows what he's about. He doesn't stop his witness. He doesn't stop talking about this Jesus Christ. He makes it known that he's there because of Christ. Now, I guess most of us should not have to wait for an imprisonment to really do our thing for Christ. But I think in each one of our lives, we have things that we might call bonds, bondages, afflictions, and what have you, that we think crowd us. And we say, Lord, when I'm having this sort of thing happen to me, I really can't function for you. I can't do what you want me to do. If you get rid of this, however, take it all away. Make the sun shine in my heart, in my life. Take away all the clouds and darkness. Then I can do it. And sometimes we wait and wait and wait for that sun to shine, doing nothing except collecting cobwebs, so to speak. And I guess our text is saying, what are you waiting for? Because the sun always shines in the heart of a Christian. God is always turning him on because he has the light of Christ in him. Even if it's dark around him, he has the light of Jesus Christ. He can, with that darkness, with that affliction, with that inconvenience, whatever it may be in your life, still act like that one called by God to let people know what you're all about. I think the Holy Spirit was wise in not giving us a sermon by Paul, what he said there. Because if we knew what he said, we'd probably want to say the same thing rather than be our own selves and witness to Christ in our situations, in our own words, with the power of God's Spirit pushing us, urging us, and making us go forward with this sort of thing. Paul makes a lot of interesting comments. He says that because of my imprisonment, because of the fact that I'm here, people not only know that I'm here for Christ's sake, but other Christians, those who really love the Lord, are encouraged by it. Now, I think in our day, if we saw the whole seminary put under house arrest or martial law, we wouldn't be encouraged by that. We would say, what's the world coming to? No more freedom of religion. Imprisonment for all seminarians, faculty members, anybody who says they love Jesus Christ, you have to be imprisoned. But it worked differently there. When they heard Paul was in prison, they could have had downers and said, boy, that is really the pits, a guy like Paul in prison. But he kept doing his thing, and maybe he encouraged them. I don't really know. But he does say they take confidence in his imprisonment, and they are more bold to speak the word of the Lord. Because of that, I can only read in my own interpretation, maybe his attitude towards what he was going through was so positive. He wasn't stopped, that encouraged others who were not in prison to say, in essence, well, if he is going to carry out his task under those difficult situations, and we're not in prison, then we ought to go about our business even more so with more joy. I'd like to let you try out something for a while. No matter where you are in your life, whatever afflictions you go through, you may sometimes feel that there's not much you can do for the kingdom of God in the mood that you're in or in a whatever situation you're in. But I see something here that hits me, that people responded to Paul and how he reacted to his adversity, in quotes, that they took more courage. They did more to speak about God. Is it possible that people can do the same thing with us or in reaction to us when we, although we go through things we call sufferings, trials, tribulations, adversities, and what have you, when we hold on to Christ and hold on to our faith, isn't it also possible that they too, not going through the same thing we go through, can take courage to be more bold, to speak the word of God because of us? Is it possible that God uses us, places us in given situations, that we might edify the body of Christ, we might uplift brethren, even if we don't know we're doing it? Do we have to always know we're doing it? Or is it more important that we have Christ as our head, our leader, who encourages us no matter what situation we're in, and the spinoff is others are encouraged as well, as they see us hang in there for Jesus Christ? I kind of think that's what it's all about. But Paul says something else that I really like. We can argue about how people really preach the gospel. We can fuss about how someone exalts Christ, and that's easy to get into. And Paul tells us, you know, there are people out there who are glad I'm in prison. And they go out proclaiming Christ out of jealousy and envy, insincerity. They are not about doing this stuff for the same reasons that those who have this love of Christ in them. They are saying it to make me feel bad, thinking that I'll be worse off when they talk about Christ. As one virgin says, some of these people do this proclaiming Jesus Christ out of selfish ambition. Not because they love Christ so much. They're doing their own thing using Christ's name, but they are telling the truth about Christ. Rather than judge people who do say the truth about Christ, can we not take joy that Christ is being proclaimed? That even if we are stopped, hindered, held up, so to speak, that we can't do it ourselves, like Paul couldn't go out and do the thing he normally had done, but somebody else was doing it, two groups. Those who did it out of goodwill, love for Christ, and those who did it out of jealousy, envy, selfish ambition. But both proclaimed Christ, and Paul said, hey, you know something? As long as Christ is proclaimed, that's the whole thing we're all about. As long as the truth is told about Jesus Christ, that's what it's all about. Even if I have to suffer here, or even if you suffer wherever you suffer, proclaiming Christ is what it's all about. And even if they who think they're hurting me, let them go ahead and proclaim it, because I'll rejoice in them too, not because of their selfish ambition, not because of their insincerity, but because what they say about Christ is true, and more people are hearing about Jesus Christ and his love. We can sometimes find many reasons to say, Lord, I would do better if you would take this away, take that away, remove this, and make it a nice primrose path. We can wait and say, Lord, I can do better when you make the road easy, mellow, or whatever thing you call ideal and just right. But what I get out of the text, and we can't exhaust the text at all, is that Paul is saying, wherever you are, whatever your circumstances, you can give Christ the glory. There's a way to show your love for Christ in every facet of your life, whether it be directly in terms of a sermon, in terms of your life, in terms of an indirect witness, or whatever. You can do this because Jesus Christ called us not for formality, but for a whole new life in Christ. That everything we do should be done to glorify God and out of love for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Sure, some are going to look at you and say, I'm glad you can't do what you want to do. I'm glad you're hurting. You might not hear it. But some might say, boy, you know, I always knew you had it coming to you. You're one of those goody two-shoe guys, and now that you're hurting, it's about time. Yeah, it's about time. I'm glad you're smarting. Now, while you're smarting, I can do it better than you can. I'll tell you what Christ is really all about. And you can kind of say, thank God that someone's still talking about Christ. We don't judge people's hearts because we don't know what's in them, but God does that himself. But even if they say these things about you, but they go ahead and do the thing you would have done anyway, or what God wants us to do, then praise God for it. May it please Almighty God, then, that one thing we can take from the text, there's so many things in it, and I had difficulty trying to say, what am I going to share with you this morning? There's so many rich things about how Paul is really taking the challenge of adversity, inconvenience, and yet saying, my life is for Christ. For me to live is Christ. May it please God that we, in our own personal life, whatever we call adversity, inconvenience, will also say, for me to live is Christ. And when other people try and show us up and make us look bad with arguments that don't accomplish much, but yet they'll go out and talk about Christ, then with Paul, in this I will rejoice too, that they are proclaiming Christ. I might not like them doing it the way they do it, but if they are talking about Christ, let them. May God grant them that by his grace, we will live our lives on this campus, in the soup, in the classrooms, in your homes, always remembering we are for Christ. And no matter what situation we're in, God is with us, and the light of Christ is always on. May he encourage you to give a witness in every situation, now and forevermore. Amen.